Okay, last but certainly hopefully not least, I think my job is to kind of virtually repeat everything that's gone before, but hopefully I've got some different pictures that will engage you in that. So really, new nuclear and the UK energy strategy is what we've been going to talk about tonight. I am going to remind you a little bit of why. You know, we do need to achieve net zero by 2050. We do need to decarbonise our economy. We've heard that. This is just a graph from the CCC that is looking at the ways that we can do that. We do forget a lot about the top two. We do need to reduce demand, and we do need to increase efficiency in the way that we use energy. And I think we should always start with that. But there are a number of low-carbon solutions out there. We're going to talk a lot about electrification, but the point has been made, and I'm going to make the point again around cogeneration. There's lots of other things that come out of losing nuclear energy that we're going to need in this decarbonised energy system. That low-carbon energy rather than electricity is the key distinction. We're talking about energy here, not just electricity. I think I like this graph, you know, which is the daily total energy demand of the UK. And what this looks at is on any given day how much we use in gigawatt hours. At the bottom there is the electricity, you know, about 1,000 gigawatt hours. About 1,500 gigawatt hours. In the middle there is fuel. You know, that's the liquid energy that we use every day. And you can see the dip as we go into COVID there, as we stop using our cars. And if you want to know the challenge of the energy, I don't want to call it a crisis, because we're not short of something, but the energy price crisis, I'll call it that, if you will. If that's the energy that we use in gas. We use gas to balance our load at the moment. In the peak of something like the Beast from the East, that's 5 terawatt hours in a single day. And that's the energy system that we've got to have for the future. We've got to take that total amount of energy and we've got to produce it in a low carbon way. And that's the challenge that really is in front of us around this. We can look at it another way, and this has already been said. On the left-hand side here, here's the total UK energy consumption. We talk a lot about electricity as the energy that we use, but that's only 17% of what we use. Actually, we use about 40% in transport and 43% in heating. I think Julia made a really, really good point around heat as a commodity. And I think that's going to be an important feature of our future energy system. The point was also made that we're going to have a system, the energy strategy, which we're going to talk about a lot this evening, makes that point. We're going to concentrate a lot on nuclear, but you can't think of the role of nuclear without thinking about what the rest of that system is going to look like. We've got a systems problem here. It's a system that we're trying to solve, and nuclear is part of that systems approach that we're going to need to do. And as the point has been made, the more renewables you put on the system, the greater the intermittency. And the quiz question is, you know, on my winter day, am I going to get my 7 terawatt hours of energy? You know, that's the quiz question. You know, without the lights going out, without your heating turning off, and you've got the ability in the future to charge your car. The ability to charge your car. Transport. You know, we're going to need to double the amount of electricity, approximately in that energy equation that I've just showed you, for the future, because we're going to electrify. Electrify is a good way of decarbonising. So though I've just made the case for energy, we're going to have to double the amount of electricity, and we're going to have to manage. We often, in Bays, we call the gas vampire. We often call it, as it kind of goes up and down. We're sucking money out of people's pockets at the moment, which is probably not the analogy I probably want to give on this stage, I'm afraid. So to the energy strategy, BESS, as it's known colloquially, BESS is not just the kind of thing that was dreamt up overnight. You know, it's a sense kind of built, and it has a story. It started off in November 2010 as the 10-point plan for the Green Industrial Revolution. In October 2021, as part of our COP26 efforts, we produced the net zero strategy for the UK. The CCC points out, the Climate Change Committee points out that it's one of the most comprehensive strategies ever produced by a country. So actually, we've embodied that, back to my systems argument here, we've embodied what we're trying to do here as part of building from the net 10-point plan to net zero strategy. But what we really realise, driven by the Russia-Ukraine efforts, is that we need to think a little bit about the ambition and the scale of that ambition. And that was brought together in the British Energy Security Strategy, which really uplifted the ambition that we have, that we've been building on and thinking about and putting together. And it was published as a package of ambitious measures for this secure, clean and affordable energy system. The system argument, nuclear sits in there. I don't really need to repeat this. You know, we're going to get to 24 gigawatts by 2050, much more ambitious in the way that we build nuclear plants and the role that they have to play. Eventually, in this strategy, we want to go to 25% of our projected energy. And there's very detailed elements in terms of sites and the way that we, the ambition terms of the number produced and permitted per year. In order to do that, we've got to change the operating model, and the strategy puts forward the Great British Nuclear as a new body in order to be able to deliver that. But also, we're going to think about the next generation of nuclear as well, beyond gigawatt and 120 million, the Future Enabling Fund as well. And there are lots of other ambitions in this system that are all going to go on, which are going to drive a more rapid decarbonisation of our energy system by 2050 and meet the demands of changing energy usage as well. And it covers all sorts of different things. You're going to have to change the energy system. Julia talked a little bit about the way that we have to change the financial models and the way that we put that together. So there's a huge amount of work that needs to go in. It's not just about building power plants. It's the way that we operate it, the way that we have financial models for it, the way that we then have a network that's able to distribute what is a massively different type of system of the future. And much of that is in that whole system, holistic design, a centralised strategic network plan due out later this year. You probably don't need for me to say this. We've kind of been talking about this all evening. We've got the gigawatts that Julia's talked about. We've talked about SMRs and what Sophie talked about. Beyond that, we talk about AMRs, advanced modular reactors, the next generation, really designed to take forward the cogeneration that we talked about a lot tonight, designed to deliver that. And also, very much at the end, we talked about fusion and the STEP process. And we are leading the STEP process, and I think we'll announce either later this year or early next year the site. We're trying to think about how to get ahead of how you produce commercial fusion energy. That's somewhere in the future. And I think there's a scale that goes through here. And I'm not going to make any judgment this evening. I'm not going to sit here and wisely say what is the correct mixture of these sort of technologies, particularly when people have very strong opinions about those sort of things as well. So SMRs, you know, small modular reactors, you've heard about. AMRs, really use those novel fuel systems for cogeneration. We've made very clear that we think that the very high temperature water reactors are the way forward. That's what we've indicated in the Future Nuclear Fund as the Future Nuclear Enabling Fund as the way forward as part of that. Partly for the same arguments that Sophie used around pressurized water reactors as technology. We know we've got the skills, we've got the supply chain that understands the elements of that. It's just tweaking it. It's just tweaking it that will take 20 years, but it's just tweaking it that will drive that forward as part of this. I think this cogeneration piece is absolutely critical to this. You know, Julia made the point that 65% of the energy that we create in nuclear, we waste. Heat is a commodity. We're going to decarbonize. We're going to reach that scale. We've got to be more efficient in the way that we use that. We've got to have nuclear as a different part of a system where actually we want to use the baseload created actually by the renewables, and we want to use the nuclear to balance that load. We kind of have to invert the logic slightly of the way that we do that. So actually, there's lots of ways that we want to do. We talked about hydrogen production, direct air capture, seawater desalination. There's also all the use of the heat, as well as other things, including making ammonia, another hydrogen vector for the future as well, which I think will be used a lot in marine as part of this. So we have a road, and I've done a why build SMRs and why build AMRs, but I think you've probably had enough of that sort of argument for this evening. They progress, and I think they show a step forward in the thinking. I finally want to come to the point of the role of R&D, and this is something that we've been working on in Bayes. This is sort of a systems diagram of the new programs that you might want to think about, but also the mature programs that we have, the sort of fleet that we'll have in the future, and the research and development that we're going to need to do that. I think we were going to have to recognise, and I think one of the key challenges, and you really struck at it by the ambition that we've heard from this platform this evening, we're going to need people to do this. We're going to need skilled people to do this. And we're going to need skilled people who know how to do nuclear operations, science, and building. And there's actually, you know, jobs for generations there, but there are skills for generations. And we should reflect that we have lost some of those skills as that population has aged, as we haven't built and operated at this sort of scale for a while. So I think we should recognise that as part of it. You know, the future may be bright, but we've got to make sure we get the people and the skills and the research and development and the understanding that gives the longevity that John talked about and the way that we think around a nuclear programme. So to conclude, 2050, where will we be? Most energy will come from renewables. I mean, that's you know, let's have a look at that system. You look at in the net zero strategy, you know, a large amount comes from that. They're intermittent. They're probably going to be the cheapest way. Now, I have a view, which maybe we'll get to on cost of things a little bit later, that we tend to think about the cost of nuclear in the wrong way. We've got to think about the system cost of electricity, not the generation cost of electricity. That one part is more expensive and one part is cheap, but they can't deliver at the same time. You've got to look at the system cost of that power, and you've got to be optimising that system cost. I think Julia said about that availability question is already beginning to drive that. We spend billions on load balancing per annum. We don't think of that as a primary cost of the electricity system, yet we have to do load balancing. It's the nature of having a system with renewables on, and that has a cost on us. So I think we've got to think a little about the levelized cost of the total system. And I think nuclear, for me, offers that trade-off between capacity, which I think will be small, actually, relatively speaking, though we can argue the strategy is 25%, which is getting to be quite big, and generation, which is a significant part of that future. So hopefully that kind of lays out, I think, some of the challenges that we face around the energy system and the transition, the systems approach that we've got to take, the challenge that BESS really puts down in the scale and the magnitude and the speed of that ambition, what we're really going to need to have to deliver that. But actually, you know, there is no harm pushing harder and faster to decarbonise our economy in a world that's going to need it. Thank you very much indeed.